I would like to speak about a topic you've probably heard about before, but if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 11 for now. Again, it is a blessing to be here and then to see y'all moving forward. Like, the whole time I was here, there was no choir. So it was good to see that again.
Amen.
And there is something special about, especially during these days, a ministry that isn't holding back, isn't just surviving, but you're taking steps forward. And that is what God wants you to do, and that's really good. So I appreciate you all and your pastor taking leadership in that. So as you're heading to Luke 11, you've probably all heard the story about D.L. Moody. Maybe you haven't. I know I've heard it several times from several different sources about D.L. Moody and how, as he was a preacher, he would go around and do his thing as an evangelist, preach from town to town, hold big meetings and tents. And he saw some results. And he didn't think this was quite what God had for him, like there should be more going on here. But he's seeing some things, and he keeps on preaching and all. And then I believe it was one time in New York, as he was preparing to go overseas to Great Britain to do a tour there, that he, as he's walking along the street, he had this overwhelming sense of the presence of God, so much so that it forced him, not forced him, but he sought refuge in a room of his friends and just locked himself up and just spent some time there with God. And he says that he couldn't really describe, he could never really communicate what that time was like. And then he tells how, as his ministry went on, it never was the same. How that he preached the same sermons and yet so many more people got saved and he saw God move in so much of a greater way. And based on that story and others like it, I developed a theology of the filling of the Holy Spirit that was kind of this idea that someday it'll hit me and I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And someday I'll be good enough where God can really use me. Maybe I'm just not really that well equipped to be really used and I should be satisfied with whatever I can get away with for ministry. But maybe someday I'll get that I'll feel what D.L. Moody felt and I'll have this experience. And from then on, I'll be this great man of God. And not to discredit the story in any way, there is a place for that story and there's meaning there, things we all need to learn. But I would like to submit three things to you, and I would like to prove them to you from the scripture. So here we go. Number one, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Number three, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and know it. So with these three thoughts in mind, let's dive into our scripture here. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1, which says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, he being Jesus, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yep. Lord, I ask now that you would meet with us. God, I pray that you would open the eyes of each person in this room to truth in a way that I never could. God, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit now. And I thank you for what you're going to do in your name. Amen. Amen. You're all very familiar with this passage, I'm sure. And I could, you know, preach through it verse by verse. We're going to look at different parts of it at different times. But I want you to mostly look at Jesus' application. You know, we've all heard the Lord's Prayer, which isn't really the Lord's Prayer, and we all understand that part too. And then we've all heard the illustration of the importunate friend, how he asked and got what he wanted, not because he had a good friend, but because he wouldn't go away. And then we understand verses 9 and 10, and we've probably heard the idea that John R. Reich, I believe, was one of the original proponents of the idea that when he says, ask and you shall receive, he's not saying ask once. The word doesn't actually even mean just ask and it'll be done. He's saying keep on asking. That's the meaning. It's a present active indicative. See, I did learn something in college. So there. Ask, seek, and knock are all present. So it's not a once and done. It's a keep on going. But you all understand that. You've heard that before, I'm sure. And then everyone that asketh, receive it. It's guaranteed. Everyone that seeks, find. And everyone that knocks shall be open. And then you've heard the father-son illustrations about how that just like we, though we're fallen humans, we as men are good to our children, or at least should be. And based off of that, our Heavenly Father, which is good, has no fallen nature, is of course going to be good to his children. But I think the thing we miss a lot here is the application of all these prayer promises, these principles for praying. The application is this: if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So here Jesus gives us this whole message on prayer. And here's his application. He says, ask for the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, I would submit to you that this isn't talking about getting the Holy Spirit for the first time, like an indwelling concept, because, well, first of all, and this was not quite to Pentecost, where an indwelling became a regular thing for believers. So this was pre the New Testament idea of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Before that, they didn't really have an indwelling Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament saints, they could be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have this constant abiding indwelling of the Spirit. So that's one reason why I think this is not talking about the indwelling. Another reason is that New Testament believers that are past Pentecost, or at whatever point you think the indwelling began, New Testament believers already have that. I can read you here Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Therefore, we know that if we are born again, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation, then you have the Holy Spirit. Why would Jesus be telling you to ask for it? Again, in that sense, in the indwelling idea. And as we look through the examples of Scripture and even historical examples of people who got saved, and we hear the testimonies of salvation, I've never heard of someone getting saved by asking for the Holy Spirit. So this could not be what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is not talking about getting the Spirit for the first time, an indwelling sense of the Spirit. Again, we could talk about the Greek, and the Greek says there's no definite article before the words hagias pneumatos, which I guess means that rather than as a person, you're not receiving Jesus as a person, but you're receiving the essence of the Holy Spirit, which is kind of confusing because the essence of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, but we're talking about something different. There's two different ways we get the Holy Spirit. There is indwelling, where the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, and then there is the filling of the Holy Spirit. I submit to you that this is talking about the filling. Another reason I believe that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit is Jesus indicated that we should ask for this filling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he means to answer. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John 5:14. This is a good verse to look at. and keep looking at, and look at again after a while. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now I have a question for you. Would Jesus ask us to pray for something that isn't according to his will? And the answer is?
No.
And the answer is?
No.
You're right. Good job. No. Would you ever ask someone to do something that you didn't want them to do? It's crazy. So, there's another reason that I want to bring. It is his will for you to have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we'll come to another, more a stronger proof for that. So if Jesus wants you to have it, is he going to hesitate to give it to you? Let me read that again. If Jesus wants you to have it, is he going to hesitate to give it to you? When you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, did God wait a little while before he gave it to you? How soon after asking for that did you get it? Right, just like that, you got it. And that comes to my second main thing I want you to remember. I want you to get this in your head for the rest of your life. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit today.
Yeah.
Again, I just think about back across all my years of thinking, well, someday I'll have this power. But I can have it today because it's God's will for me to have it. And if it's God's will for me to have it and I don't have it, it's not his fault, it's my fault. So clearly, Jesus would fill each person in this room now, if we would ask. Let's look at our illustration. Jesus was very kind to us in that he didn't always just give us straight-up facts. Sometimes he gave us illustrations. So let's start in verse number 5, where he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight?" Sorry, Luke 11, verse 5. "We'll go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as he needed." So here we see the friend in his illustration kept asking until he received. He wouldn't be sent away without it. How many years do you think this friend stood at the man's door and asked for the loaves of bread? How many years before he got it? Was it a couple years? No, maybe just a couple months. Just a little while. No, he kept asking and he wasn't going to leave till he got it.
Right.
And the friend wasn't going to endure that much annoyance. He was just going to do it as soon as he got annoying enough. So this man kept asking until the obstacles were overcome. And there are obstacles in our lives that keep us from being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a principle God gives us in Psalm 66:18. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 66:18, a principle of prayer that's a good one to keep in mind. Here, King David says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So I submit to you that the only thing that can keep you from being filled with the Holy Spirit is sin. There is nothing else on the face of the earth that can keep you from being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
I've been on a journey myself lately about, as I've learned, how much of what I call mistakes or oops or, you know, no big deal, or I'll work on that later. God doesn't look at it like that.
That's right.
God calls it sin.
That's right.
And the Bible says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, he's not going to hear us. He can't answer our prayer when we have sin in our life that is not confessed, is not dealt with. And the answer, of course, is 1 John 1:9. You've heard this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So not only could you be filled with the Holy Spirit today, but you could be clean today if you would acknowledge what he calls sin as what he calls it, sin.
Yeah. Right.
One thing is getting up in the morning and You know, a few months back, you could have asked me, what time does God want you to get up in the morning? And I could have told you, he's just like that, I know. And yet, I wasn't really thinking about it that way. I was thinking about, well, I'm going to try to get up this time in the morning. And when I don't, it's lazy, it's fleshly, it is nothing but sin. And I can get up, you know, a few minutes later than what God wants me to get up and try and do my devotions. And God is gracious, and often he'll overlook our ignorance and sometimes teach us something from his word when we really don't deserve to hear from him. But to go throughout a whole day filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to look at God in the eye, not literally. I'm going to have to face my sin and realize I was lazy. You have a time where you want me to get up, and I didn't get up. And that's a small thing. Honestly, in this room, there's probably a lot bigger things than that, that we are overlooking: our impatience, our frustration, our failure to win souls. I've developed a theory, and it's a convicting theory for me to even talk about, but I think that anyone who doesn't win souls is either ignoring or refusing opportunities to do so. The opportunities are there. We're just not filled with the Holy Spirit to take them.
Good.
So the friend, he asked and kept on asking. Another thing I've experienced as I've begun asking for this filling, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I'll ask that, and God will bring up sin. He'll say, how about this? Is that sin or isn't it? Are you going to let me cleanse you of that or aren't you? And as I confess my sin, and often it's pride. And that's a big one in this room. I don't have to know you that well, though some of you I know well. And I love you, and I like to be around you. And yet, the truth is, there is pride in our hearts. And that's one thing God has brought to me as I've been confessing sin and asking him to fill me with the Spirit. He said, what about your pride? Are you going to deal with that? So ask, keep on asking. So ask, confess, and ask again until you get it. So if you ask for the Holy Spirit and don't feel like you received it, again, I said this, confess your sin and ask again. Just like in each illustration, we could talk about the friend at his friend's house or the son at his father asking for an egg or whatever. When the friend asked for what he wanted, he knew when he got it. There wasn't really a question. He wasn't standing there, do I have my 3 loaves yet, or do I need to ask again? And the same way with a father and his son. If a father gives food to his son or water to his son, the son doesn't stay there and keep asking for it. He uses it. So just like in each illustration, the suppliant knew when he had received what he asked for, you can know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would ask you, what's the point of being filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't know it? How can you use what you don't know you have? So that's why I would say that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit today, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and know it. Now I have a few considerations for you that might help. So listen carefully and consider it. And honestly, I'm in the middle of a journey myself. So I wish I could give you all the answers right here, but I can't. And there's still some times where I'm not sure what's going on. I'm just basing what I'm saying as much as I can on the Scripture. And if you think I've done wrong in the Scripture, well, you know, you do right by the Scripture. But here's some considerations. The filling of the Spirit is not necessarily an emotional experience. It's
right.
Deeper than that. I know for me, it's something I have discovered, just how much of a nervous person I am and how much fear I've had in my life. And God, when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, there's such a settling in my soul. But it's not about emotion. And when you're looking for emotion, you're going to come up dry sometimes. But when you're asking and expecting God to answer, there's more to it than emotion. And it's the filling with the Holy Spirit is not a flawless state of being. I have had this perspective in my life that oh, that's a preacher, or maybe someday I'll be like that and I just won't have troubles. Oh, sure, maybe I'll have little sins, but you know, that's no big deal. Well, like I talked about, there aren't really little sins.
Right.
There's nothing that isn't big enough a deal to God for him to cut off that Holy Spirit filling. But if God is going to fill people with his Spirit, he's going to have to fill flawed vessels. And God wants to fill you today with all of your character problems and even some of your habitual sins. God will fill you today. God will meet you where you're at. Now, as you continue walking with him, filled with the Spirit, he's going to deal with these things.
Yeah.
And the moment you refuse to deal with these things, you refuse to confess what he brings up,
yep,
then you lose it. You've lost it, and you're never going to get it back until you deal with those sins. But being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you don't make mistakes anymore. It doesn't mean you confess the mistakes, you deal with it, and you ask God to fill you again, and you're right back there again. He's,
yep,
big enough to fill you and use you with all of your problems.
Amen.
And the filling of the Spirit, again, I kind of mentioned this, it's not exclusive. It's not for just preachers or super Christians or the person that's in charge of that thing or the person who has to preach or lead songs. It's for everyone.
Yes.
Jesus didn't put any special standards on this filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, these people need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. These people are okay, or these people I won't fill with the Holy Spirit. It's for every person in this room, this filling of the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit is not optional. Ephesians 5:18, see if you can finish the verse for me. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be...
Spirit.
Right, exactly. That is an imperative. Again, pulling out my Greek here, isn't that cool? It is a command. It's,
yes,
not an option. So one of the sins you can confess tonight, if you haven't been walking in the Spirit, is I haven't been filled with the Spirit. And you can tell God that's a sin, and God's going to say, yeah, you're right. Let me fill you with the Spirit. So... the filling of the Spirit, it's so necessary. You need it every second of every day. You need it at work and at play. And again, as I mentioned, those opportunities you're missing to give the gospel, to be a witness, to lead souls to Christ, are because you're going into your day not filled with the Spirit. There's no, you can work and not be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's lots of people who are lost as anyone. Lost as a goose in a snowstorm, as my dad would say. And they do fine working, and they do good jobs, and they can work hard and all that. Now, it's easier if you're a Christian. But you can work and not be filled with the Spirit and do okay. You can even be nice and not be filled with the Spirit. But mark this, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're going to miss the opportunities God has for you,
yeah,
to do his work. And you'll get into the grind at work, and you'll get into your own little tunnel, and you'll get your work done. Yeah, sure, congratulations. But you'll miss what God has for you. And you need it in play, in whatever your recreational activities might be or all that. You're going to miss opportunities to minister to those around you, be they lost or saved. You need his Spirit all the time. You need it, obviously, you need it in witnessing, though I think if I could see it all now, I would think I would be surprised at how much time I spent out soul winning and witnessing and handing out tracts that I wasn't filled with the Spirit and thus was hindered. I couldn't be,
yeah,
used like God wanted to use me. And you need the Spirit in raising your children. You can't really love them right without his Spirit, because you're either going to, on the one hand, be too lax, too loose, oh, I just love you, you know, just let them get away with stuff. Or you're going to be the strict disciplinarian, which, you know, you'll raise up kids with good character if they don't completely react and rebel, and yet they won't be spiritually where God wants them to be. And you'll be disappointed as you realize the fruit of your own flesh works. Even though you were a disciplinarian,
yep,
you weren't filled with the Spirit, and you're reproducing the wrong kind of Christianity.
Yep.
John 15:5, at the end of the verse, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So I just want to submit to you now that you can be filled with the Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit right now, before you leave this room,
yes,
you could have it. And if you leave this room and you don't feel like you have it, you can ask for it. Be that importunate friend. You don't have to wait a couple years. Keep asking for a couple years, maybe you'll get it. Tonight, you should be filled with the Spirit. There's not a person in this room that's born again who shouldn't go to bed filled with the Spirit,
right,
and see how it changes your morning. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit today. And you can be filled with the Spirit and know it.